Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I blame Mark James for everything that's happening wrong in the world right now. Okay, everything. The pay disparity of the women's soccer team.
Yep, Mark James.
Is always Mark James.
How do you think I feel? I do Saturdays with him. I've done a couple shifts this week in the mornings with him.
Well,
good luck.
I'm sensitive.
Dale Arnold.
I grew up with old school players like Lawrence Taylor, Ronnie Lott, and Dick Butkus.
Let's go back to 1955.
Badass men.
So badass.
So it's hard to hear Tom Brady talk about his kale juice.
Star for attention, fame seeking loser.
It is male Uggs.
All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Rich Keith.
Does anybody love Mark James?
Lame name James?
Mark James.
I know some.
I like Mark.
That's a lot.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's a weirdo.
He's a good guy.
And he backs down immediately if you challenge.
Doffed his.
I heard the first part. And I think one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he's afraid you're probably just going to, like, break him in half.
Yes, sir.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I was born to play baseball. But where I'm from, we never take anything for granted.
Come on, Mike. Let's go.
I was raised to value hard work and to practice respect. I still call my parents before every game, and this guy has trained me since high school. I grew up playing other sports, and I still make time for the things I love. My friends are a source of inspiration, and my dad is still my hero. Maybe I'm not what everyone wants me to be, but I'm exactly who I've always been. I don't play for the fame, the money, or the endorsements. I'm still that same old kid with a big dream and a decent swing. Some say I'm the best to play the game. Me? I just want to play.
Wow. That's a... I'll admit,
it's
that's
good.
That's a real, authentic, sincere commercial, Mike Trout. And it's not going to help him market himself and get over more with the young audience, but I will tell you, it's real, and that is who he is in a nutshell. That's that, you know, in baseball, like you said last year, and I saw the interaction when he had the live mic during the All-Star game, and they were trying to force feed him being interesting by talking about his love for the weather.
Right.
And I don't think it made him interesting. I think it made him sort of dorky.
10-year-olds, 11-year-olds weren't like, whoa, this guy's so cool.
Oh,
he likes
the weather.
So does everybody else over the age of 70. They sit in front of the Weather Channel.
Right, exactly.
Storm chasers.
We coming up at 12:30, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Toronto Blue Jays coming up next Tuesday, July 16th, and a parking pass for the Prudential Center Garage during Free Ticket Thursday. And we will also be joined by the special assistant to Red Sox president of baseball operations, Tony La Russa, three-time World Series champion manager, the front office report brought to you by Cumberland Farm. So that's coming up at 12:30. Stay tuned for that.
I'm looking forward to that, because what we're talking about is the game of baseball in a grand scale.
Yep.
And there's a guy there that's seen a lot. He's credited slash blamed with specialization in the bullpen, which maybe has extended games and made them a little slower.
No, he's the king of the triple switch.
Right.
So he's always done that.
I'd be interested to see what he has to say about some of this talk about the game needing fixing,
right,
and how to fix it. I think he'll bring an interesting perspective as sort of an old-timer, generational guy.
Yeah, no, we will get to that. Looking forward to that. And we'll talk, obviously, about the Red Sox getting ready for the Dodgers tomorrow night, a rematch of last year's World Series. So
you don't get a ring, though, if you win this series. It's not the same. It's not a real rematch.
Yeah, no, it is not.
It's not like a pay-per-view three-fight.
Yeah, no. 617-779-7937. All right, Dave in New Hampshire, lead us off this hour. Hey, Dave.
Dave!
Oh, hey, how you doing? Sorry, it's James.
Oh, hey, James.
Hey. Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, you look at MLB wanting to make the players promote themselves, but do you ever think that, you know, maybe some of these guys want to make all their money and not get all the attention? If you look at a guy like Brady, and it's not you guys, but, you know, he can't post a picture on Instagram without a website having to write a full article
about it. Right, right. You know, and he's embraced that lately. It's been a bit of a change, and people are wondering if it's just tied into TB12 and marketing and their expansion, or if it's just him having fun and the brand that is Tom Brady. But you're right. You know, I just brought that up about Mookie. After the commissioner throws him under the bus for, you know, not doing a commercial, maybe Mookie doesn't really care
to
market himself.
I don't think he does.
And why would you? And you can make $300 million without doing anything. Why am I going to do a lot more work, travel to wherever they want me to shoot these things, do... No, I'm not really going to get that much more out of it. You might as a sport, but I'm still getting my $300 million because I'm going to bat 290 and hit 30 home runs and steal bases and drive in runs and
Except
score
Except for this year. Mike Trout, though, you heard that commercial right there, James, is that Mike Trout, he's just like, hey, this is who I am. He's not going to change. So you can't make people be charismatic. They either are or they aren't. They move the needle or they don't. And these guys, they have the best of both worlds, though, because, you know, you see when Leonardo DiCaprio is walking through LAX and the TMZ cameras are flicking in his face and he's putting his jacket over his face. These guys, they get everything they want. They get the money, and they, for the most part, don't have to deal with the paparazzi and all the people who are trying to give them unwanted attention. It's the best of both worlds.
Yep.
Exactly. Me, personally, like, I would want that attention. I wouldn't want to go outside.
No.
But if you can force them, and this is what I brought up earlier, if baseball may have to push that envelope. For the future, Mookie, you're going to get your $300 million. But if you want Mookie in 20 years, the next generation of Mookies, to get their $300 million, we're going to have to change something, or the economics are going to change it for us.
Well, and there's the thing. Mookie Betts right now is the most marketable African-American baseball player on the planet. I mean, right now, he's American-born. He's from the Nashville area. He won an MVP. He has a great name. He's got the box office smiles, they said, all that stuff. But this is an article that was in U.S. News a couple years ago, and it's just talking about how the fact that, you know, baseball with African-American stars, 1981 had the highest percentage of black players at 18.7%. The 81 All-Star game had a total of 63 players. There were 14 African-American players, 22%. So during the last 40 years, the percentage of black All-Star baseball players has decreased from 22% to 4%. You got to market it. And if someone like Mookie's not willing to do it, then you're probably not going to get a lot of kids in the urban community who want to grow up to be the next Mookie Betts. They want to be the next Julio Jones, or they want to be the next Kevin Durant. That's it. They see these guys all the time. They see, you know, Kawhi Leonard. They want to be Kawhi. They don't want to be Mookie.
And let's be honest. If they were smart, but they're not thinking this way, they would much rather be Mookie than Julio Jones.
Guaranteed money. Guaranteed money.
Like, financially, and I'm not saying some 8-year-old should think that way.
No, but not only the injuries.
Right.
Yeah, you won't end up walking around like Earl Campbell the rest of your life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so there's that. Harris is up next in Roxbury. Thanks for holding. What's up, Harris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Great.
First of all, like, the home run issue and the strikeout issue, what baseball is trying to, like, you know, pump that up goes to show how, like, out of touch they are, because no one wants to see a bunch of guys hit a whole bunch of home runs. They want to see one or two guys hit like 60 home runs.
Right.
They
Studs.
Want to see Clemens. They want people saw Clemens strike out 20 people. You know, guys like that. They don't want to see a whole bunch of strikeouts. They don't want to see a handful of guys strike guys out. That's what superstars do. That's what fans want to see. They want to see the freak show. They want to see the guys, the superstars, do their thing. And the second issue I want to bring up, as far as like the All-Star game. I don't understand how come they didn't have, like, you know, Lil Nas X should have introduced the All-Star game with, like, a concert or something. Bring in the celebrities, you know, the hip-hop community into baseball and help them out.
That's a good idea, Harris. That's a very good idea. Honestly, if you're going to do they already do the red carpet. They've been doing the red carpet now for, like, over 6-7 years. You know, put a little hip-hop flavor to it, just like the NBA All-Star game
right.
does.
Who's hotter right now and bridges more gaps than him with that song that's taken over the world?
Right, but even though Kendrick Lamar is more street cred Harris, I would go with Kendrick Lamar, personally speaking. But to your, like you said, in the crossover appeal,
yes.
Lil Nas X is, he was just on London's Good Morning America last week, and he got up before he was supposed, I mean, he's everywhere. He is pervasive right now. He's all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like Michael Jordan, when he was selling sneakers back in the day, it wasn't him being all charismatic and everything. It was Spike Lee doing all the talking, and Michael Jordan was just standing there.
On the commercials.
Saying,
yep. Right.
These are the shoes.
Yep.
But as far as like fixing the game goes, like outside the box, like you said earlier, shorten the season, but also how about moving the schedule, like say Friday, a game Friday, doubleheader Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Make it a weekend event.
Ooh,
build it up all weekend. You have, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off to build it up, and then you have weekend baseball. Everyone's looking forward to weekend baseball.
Yeah, just you know what, Harris? That's not a bad idea.
And I don't hate it.
And here's the thing, too. Start it after the NFL draft. I don't know. I know the NBA and NHL playoffs have already, but why you don't maybe need to start it in the beginning of April?
No,
start it after
cold baseball games.
Ugh. Start it in May. Like, just do it then. Dan's in Southborough is up next. What's up, Dan?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
So for anybody that has kids, like this makes sense. Baseball to me is like the Curious George or the Peppa Pig. It's pretty low key. It's pretty mellow. It's pretty laid back. And football or hockey or lacrosse or whatever is the Paw Patrols of the world. There's explosions. There's talking dogs. There's all kinds of stuff that you can't pull your eyes away from. And when you're raising kids on that, that's what they gravitate to. That constant stimuli is what they gravitate to in all aspects of their life, including what sports to follow. And I think to your other point about baseball players marketing themselves, I think – here in Boston, we're kind of spoiled in that, you go back 10, 15 years, and we've had the David Ortizes of the world, the Johnny Damons of the world, the Pedro Martinezes of the world, even on a lower scale, like the Kevin Millars of the world, these guys that loved notoriety, loved to be known, loved to be recognized, were these big personalities. And I think it's easy here to assume that everybody's like that. And once you achieve that level, you want all that fame to go along with all that fortune, et cetera. And I think really it takes a certain kind of personality. And here in Boston, we've just had that in our superstars for a number of years.
But Dan, but you would admit the year after Poppy retired, 2017, that was the big thing, the void of Poppy, and the fact that not only wasn't there because he left on the high, and the guy could have been the MVP in 2016, but you know it was Mike Trout, but Poppy was unreal, and he hasn't been replaced from a standpoint of being that all-encompassing leader that had the big smile and was, you know, he was just a rock star in every way, shape,
absolutely,
and form, on and off the field. And here's another thing. We brought up before about Mookie Betts. You know what, Mookie? If you're not willing even to do the highlight thing, my suggestion was, too, for the African-American stars in the sport, you got to go into the community, into the urban communities, and you have to market the game and go into the schools and speak to schools and maybe a bunch of schools at once and say, you know, play baseball. You have to go. But like, if Mookie's not willing to do a thing where they, you know, give him his highlights and he narrates it and does like the Kobe Bryant detail thing, if he's not willing to do that, well, you know, what the heck's he going to do? Like, he's just not.
He's going to win the MVP, well, and he's going to hit his home runs. He's going to hit for, you know, that's what they bank on because they know they'll still get paid. And I don't even think you have to go as far as in the schools. I mean, so much of it is digital now, right? Is social media and coolness and having, you know, NBA players showing up to games with their crazy outfits and just that whole, I don't even know if they know they're marketing themselves when they're marketing themselves.
Well, that's what they actually took that. They stole that from WWE. Remember when The Rock would get out of a limo?
Right.
And by the way, it works.
Yes.
It works. People, the NFL does it. Oh, here's OBJ walking in a Giant stadium.
Right.
You know, here he is and he's got this outfit on. People, for some ever reason. Now, you get a guy who's a little bit of a bag like Kyrie Irving who said, oh, I can't wait till this S is over.
Right.
Because before the Houston game. But for the most part, guys love when they walk into the arena for the spotlight, all eyes on them. They love it. Let's go to Mike in New Hampshire, who's up next. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have I think it's a solution to the unpopularity of baseball and its future. And my two things that I would change are you get rid of ball four and you get rid of the third out. So it's three balls or three strikes whichever comes first, and two outs. And that would shorten the game. And I think, you know, you could have a game 2.5, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah, all of these are extreme, and I would be willing to look into them. You know, the things they're doing with the Atlantic League where they're testing the mound and the size of the bases and stealing of first and robot umpires and all. If you wanted to do this in the Atlantic League and say, let's see what happens. You know, sure. Somebody brought up yesterday, I know there's slow pitch softball where you start with two strikes or something. You know, these, and if you hit a foul ball, you're out. There's all these sort of extreme rules. I think they need to think in that way. I don't know which one is the one that would work and be exciting. That's, they can be smarter than me. They can test it in the minor leagues. But they need to think that way. Mm-hmm. It's not just shave, you know, we're going to shave 48 seconds off by getting a pitch clock or by not allowing umps.
Pitch clock, I agree.
It's a minor change.
Right. They need to revise the game. I mean, the NFL, kudos to them. And to me, I don't like how they've pretty much taken away kickoffs. But I do like this, that, okay, what was the most egregiously awful call of the NFL season? New Orleans, yep. Rams, NFC title game, when clearly Nickell Robey Coleman, I mean, if you were ever to explain to someone from a foreign country, what is pass interference? Oh, this is it. This is pass interference. Yep. But now the NFL, at the owners' meetings, at their five-star resort hotel, they said, now coaches have the ability to throw a flag on a non-pass interference call. They have the ability. So kudos to the NFL, reactively instead of proactively, but they fixed it. They fixed it, and they got it right. Thank you, NFL. Why can't baseball do the same?
And you're right. Even if baseball is going to be reactive, there's plenty to react to right now.
Right.
And if the NFL can do it within the course of an offseason, baseball can make changes. They're not willing, though. That's what I get back to. They are not willing. It's the idea that they're still one of the big dogs. They're not a big dog anymore. They're falling down. And the power of the players and not upsetting the players. But the players have to be willing, in my opinion, to think long term. You know, yes, Mookie, you'll get your 350. But again, will the next generation be coming into quite as positive a sport? You benefited from what players did decades ago, right? Free agency, people pushing contracts, you know, Roger Clemens becoming the first, whatever, $5 million man, $25 million contract, those things. You benefited from that. Now you need to benefit future generations with what you're willing to do, and I just don't know that the players are willing to look at it that way.
Well, and just to let you know how bad it's gotten for baseball, that this year, and I have it right here in front of me, the biggest ratings on ESPN this year for baseball. Game 3 of the College World Series between Vanderbilt and Michigan outrated the Red Sox-Yankees from June 2nd.
Yep.
And 3 of the top 4 highest rated baseball games are the College World Series final between Vanderbilt and Michigan. That outrated baseball. The second highest rated game is Red Sox-Yankees, and then 3rd and 4th is Vanderbilt-Michigan. You're getting outrated, not by college football, which we do know you get outrated by college football, which, and maybe to a certain extent when you get to March Madness, fine. This is college baseball, which, ping, ping. I mean, you're getting outrated by ping, a metal bat, an aluminum bat. And that, to me, if this paper right here is got to be Rob Manfred's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your premier rivalry in the history of baseball, if not sports, Red Sox-Yankees, outrated by Vanderbilt versus Michigan. Skip Bayless's alma mater versus Adam Schefter's alma mater. That's
I'd have gone Tom Brady there, but
I didn't want to go to too famous. I could throw David Price and David Portnoy.
I bring it back to the passion, and I would think Red Sox Yankees is the big. Remember how passionate that rivalry used to be?
Yeah,
it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah,
it's just not the same. And you can argue, is it because the Red Sox finally got over the hump and won?
Yeah,
or are the players too friendly now? And instead of fighting and brawling, they're, you know, having dinner afterwards. Whatever the various issues you want to point to. The passion is gone inside of baseball, in my opinion, player versus player, team versus team, and that coincides with the passion being lost by the fans.
Yep.
And I joked yesterday, you got to bring back fights. You got to bring back people caring. And some of that is going to be pimping of home runs and then buzzing his tower the next time up, striking him out, pumping your fist, irritating each other to the point where
there's truly competitive passion in the game again.
When the Mets and Yankees had a rivalry and it went in the World Series between Clemens and Piazza,
correct,
and it carried over to the next year.
You need to be willing to throw a shard of a bat at somebody.
That's it. And you got to be willing to buzz a tower. Michael in a car. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Michael.
All right, so I just want to get my opinion in here. I've been coaching baseball my whole life, and I am equated with some really, really prominent stars. I am, my kids on our teams are not acquainted with the old school ways, like you are saying, where you could just go down to the ball field, grab a bat, go and play, and have some fun. And it's now, in my opinion, like you guys are saying, being totally, totally blown up to this whole culture, which should not exist. I just think that, I don't know what you guys think, but I used to love to go down to the ball field after school, grab my glove, grab my wooden bat.
Right. Now, Michael, we understand what you're saying.
Oh. He's a passionate old school baseball fan.
Yeah.
No, another thing I'd like, because he talked about coaching, so I'm not connected to many prominent players like he was.
No.
I wish we had asked who the prominent players were, but we can get that another day.
Yeah.
You know what I also see with kids, and I don't know if this is inherent in the game and if this pushes them away from it, is the stress level coaching baseball, watching kids that are 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, is way more than the other sports I see. When they strike out, when they walk a guy.
More than football?
Yes. You got guys crying.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's, and part of it is the nature of the game, the one-on-one. It's you versus the pitcher. Okay, he struck you out. You go cry. You don't get to hit again for another.
Yeah.
You know, you got to wait for
two innings,
the order.
Three innings, maybe. Yeah.
Bad kids down the bottom of the order, blah, 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 blah. Whereas every other sport, you get to respond. Like, you get out of that emotional rut immediately. You know, lacrosse, it's an up-and-down game. Basketball, football, they're all hockey. They're all up-and-down games. The stress level that baseball seems to create sometimes in these kids, and I see it with kids that are all-stars and kids that are not all-stars. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, that it pushes them away from the game beyond the other obvious things, the boredom and the TV, not watching it on TV. I don't know if they're more stressed in baseball for whatever reason.
Oh, that's, I never heard that one before, but
fountain of knowledge over here.
It could be. We know. Let's continue to get your phone calls with us. And Mookie Betts, by the way, for as critical as we and the commissioner of baseball has been on him, he actually did do something to market himself that sort of went under the radar, associating himself with the greatest brand in the history of sports marketing. We'll get to that next, but now it's time for trending. You're getting outrated, not by college football. This is college baseball. Ping, ping. You're getting outrated by ping.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. Yes, I don't know where. Rob Gronkowski said, "Yeah, I'm coming back on the red carpet last night to Drew Brees." So there's that.
Did he really? Are we sure that's what he said?
I couldn't really. It wasn't very that legible. Okay. All right. He didn't say it in a joking fashion. He said it. That was sort of...
What if he was going to the bathroom and was going to come back and meet Drew Brees' kids?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Oh,
there he is. There's the laugh.
We're coming back for the buffet, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he could use it. He's lost some significant weight, but I don't care about that. I think when it's all said and done, he doesn't want to do the rigors of training camp, even though obviously training camp isn't what it was, going back to the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s with the two-a-days and all that stuff. I don't blame him. But I think when the time is right, I don't know.
Do you think he knows right now? Because I don't.
Probably not.
I think he will probably come back. I think you're already seeing a little bit of sparks in the dry grass, so to speak. But I don't think he knows for sure. And I'm also a believer that the situation could determine whether he comes back. If they're not a very good team and they're just stumbling offensively, if they don't have the second best receiving core, as some people believe, and they're getting by on defense and they're still going to win the East because who knows who could beat them in the East. The Bills aren't going to do it. Josh, whatever. I don't think he wants to come back because I don't think he wants to have all the pressure of being the white knight to save the offense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was on the Rich Eisen show last week, and he talked about the possibility of number 87 coming back to Foxborough.
Thank you. I love you. I miss you.
But there's...
I'm just relaxing, homie.
There's no chance, Rob. This is Tom.
You know, call me when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. He ends every one of them with the same laugh.
I know he does. He does. And there's something. Yeah, that's like, I look at him and I just think he's not ready to give it up just yet. I don't doubt that he loves going to do award shows and advertisements. And he was at a celebrity all-star game the other night in L.A. at UCLA and Monster Energy and all this stuff. It's fine. And maybe even do an action movie, with Sly Stallone or The Rock or Jason Statham. I just think ultimately Gronk's just a football player. And I think he did it because that's how he felt at the time. It's something he'd be considering for a while. But I think when September rolls around and the Patriots are devoid of a tight end, at least Ben Watson won't be there for the first four games. And you got Matt LaCosse and not much else. You know, people are going to be clamoring for, you know, Gronk to come back and line up. And at that point, training camp's over. And do I think Bill Belichick will be okay with bringing him back? Of course. I think Belichick has this affinity for Robert. He, you know, you don't see many times, and you were there for near 20 years, Belichick crack a smile. I saw him crack a smile when he's asked about Gronk. He I think in some way Belichick lives vicariously through Gronk.
And because he's great. Yes. You have to take it.
You got to be right. Yeah.
You can only
Who's a better
be
tight
great.
End, Gronk or Bavaro?
Gronk.
Well, that was that's a rhetorical
right,
question.
But Gronk is the greatest tight end of all time.
And how does Belichick, deify Mark Bavaro?
Right.
Oh, Bavaro.
Or Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
You think Lawrence Taylor could have got rid of away with everything he did if he was Kyle Van Noy? A good but not great linebacker? No.
Well,
when you're
all,
great, you get away with stuff.
With all due respect, Kyle Van Noy wouldn't have made that team.
Right.
Okay.
It's true.
Carl Banks, Leonard Marshall, Pepper. Yeah, there's no way Kyle Van Noy's making that Giants team.
What does Bill always say? Best interest of the team, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, but Rob Gronkowski joining the team in November is in the best interest of the team.
It is.
If he wants to come back, and he's going to get the itch. They all do. Every player tells you on some level. Now, they can ignore it, some of them. You know, Chris Long is one guy. He's very active on social media. He's retired. And he says, so far, he has not even thought about the itch.
And I believe him.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Will that change at some point? I don't know if that's September. It's never August. None of them have the itch in August. Nobody wants to be there in August and late July and even early September. But you start to get into, oh, everybody's having fun and sacks and winning and celebration and the camaraderie of the locker room. Gronk will get the itch.
Call me when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to come back a little before then, late November into December.
Oh, really? I would say, I was going to say early November. No, you think late November?
Maybe. And I don't know what comebacks. You know, he could sign with the team and be inactive for a couple weeks as he just practices to get into football shape, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Reamer's on this big thing. Well, look at all the weight he's lost.
No, he can get it back easily.
And even, I don't think he's going to need to because he's not coming back to be this dominant physical blocking tight end. He's coming back to make plays in the passing game and help you win a Super Bowl, to be a go-to guy when there's 3rd and 7 or you're on the goal line and you need to score a touchdown. That's what he's coming back for, not to move a defensive end.
And training camp for veterans, for everybody, opens up 2 weeks from yesterday, if I'm not the 24th, right?
The whatever the Thursday is, the 25th, I think.
Oh, is it the 25th? Okay, well,
it's the Thursday.
It's the Thursday. So
they arrive a day earlier, but the last Thursday in July is the start.
Okay, so that's 2 weeks from today.
Boom.
2 weeks from today. Boom.
Football's back, baby.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, that and you can just tell that, all right,
the Bruins have had the most anticlimactic offseason. The Celtics, and unless Danny pulls off some huge deal, which he has done, see August 2017 when he traded Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and Ante Zizic and a first rounder for Kyrie Irving. Unless something like that happens, that's where the Patriots, they come in. And even though it's just training camp prior to preseason games, they just steal the show here in the town. Like it's a Patriots town. There was a time, and I had conversations before with Stacey James where, you know, the Patriots, even when they were making runs in their first three Super Bowls, would have trouble getting on the front page of the Globe sports section.
Right.
Now they're on the front page of the Globe itself. They rule. Whatever they do, it rules. It rules everything. It trumps Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, you name it. We are a Patriots town. We can't get enough of them. Six-time world champs.
They got all the chips. You know, we talked about Richard Seymour was, you know, at the World Series of Poker. The Patriots are the bully at the table that has all the chips and can manipulate the game because of it. And, you know, it's not just the regular season. As soon as they hit, as soon as you see Tom Brady, as soon as you see Bill Belichick out on that field, that is the dominant sports story in town. That's why I wrote this morning for the website. It's kind of obvious, but
yeah,
the Red Sox are under the gun
right now. WEEI.com.
Time is running out. You have the trade deadline,
yep.
One trade deadline yep. This year, July 31st. So that's the obvious annual deadline. Are you a winner? Are you a loser? Are you a buyer, a seller? You know, I think you're of the mind they should start to consider maybe selling.
Well, I want to see how the next couple of weeks go, but let's just see. I mean, they have a couple weeks to get ready for the deadline, and if they are five games out of the second wild card spot,
and right now they're two, correct?
They're two.
If they drop.
If they get to about five games out of the wild card spot in a few weeks, oh, boy.
And you got the Dodgers coming to town. Yeah. The Dodgers
and
are a good
team. And then you got
Yankees
and Rays coming up.
Not exactly a nope. Orioles where you can beat up
Orioles,
on somebody.
Orioles, Royals, right. All those garbage teams. 617-779-7937. Is there any other reason why you think Gronk would not come back? Andy and I are on the same page on that one. We think he will. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I say after week eight. I don't know. I just feel or at the midway point, the Patriots get eight games in the books. Gronk would be great to come in and add, and Ben Watson would already have four games in the books by then, and then we can see and reevaluate. Frank in Boston, you're up next. What do you think?
I think it's a great possibility that it comes back because Belichick has done this before with players that he loves. The biggest example is Junior Seau. He bought Junior Seau twice.
Yep.
You know, and mid-season, after mid-season, because he knew Junior Seau, even for two or three plays, he could have helped him out. And Gronk is a perfect example of a player that could come in for two or three plays and do a big impact on the game. So I've been saying this from the get-go, you know, Gronk will be back, maybe, you know, game 8, 9, but he will be back and be able to be a big help to the Patriots during that time.
No, I agree. And
he's done that before.
And here's the thing, too, Frank. He can be, even if he's not his 2011, 2012, 13 best, as a decoy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
If you're a safety and Gronk's on the field,
yeah.
I don't care if he missed the first half, anything. You're worried. You're thinking about him. Your eyes are on him.
Yeah.
And that's something this offense is lacking, right? You have N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman and Matt Lacoste. Maybe they're talented. Maybe Harry and Lacoste are ready for breakout years, but they're going to be getting attention. There's nobody to take attention away from them. So they're going to have to earn whatever they get. They're not going to get early, easy catches to build confidence.
I want to ask this coming up, and I think the audience, this is a good question. It seems like the Patriots, that coming off a Super Bowl win, they know how to prepare and defend their title the following year, unlike any team, especially the Red Sox, who John Henry has come out and been openly critical of in their defense of coming off a title season in 2005. In 2008, they were really good. 2014, they were god-awful. What is it? Well, like, let's get to that. What is it in New England where Belichick is able to just get these guys to believe in the now and not look back to, well, hey, we're coming off another Super Bowl. We won six. We won three of the last five. 617-779-7937. Nobody repeats and then comes off of winning the title better than the Patriots. This is Mark and Hart in for Dale and Keith.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You gotta have another Super Bowl hangover. Well, what is your response when you hear that?
No.
I just feel like you gotta earn it every year, you know?
Nobody. Is the hangover real, though?
No, it's you gotta earn it. So, you know, every team gonna be playing hard. Teams get better and better every year. So I feel like you gotta go out there and earn it every year. So that's how it goes every year.
Adrian.
That was Patriots Pro Bowl corner, Stephon Gilmore, who... You talk about a guy coming into a market like this, especially coming over from Buffalo, and to do what he's done in the 2 years he's been here, in his first season, and he struggled. There's no, and I don't know if that was due to the fact that the offense prior to Brian Flores. You know, I don't know if it was because of that. It was too confusing, and what they didn't let him play.
It was a lot of zone. He struggled playing a lot of
Matt
zone.
Matt Patricia,
early in his first year.
Yeah, but. I remember the play that he made in the AFC title game against Mercedes Lewis. And that was the play that sealed the game for the Patriots. Where it was like, and therein lies the fact of what I want to talk about. I want to get your thoughts on this too at 617-779-7937. The Patriots do such an amazing job of compartmentalizing, blocking out last year. And like you heard Stephon Gilmore right there. It's like he's programmed by Belichick, and he just said, you got to earn it every year.
No question. He already got the talking points.
He's got it.
You didn't have to wait to training camp or the first meeting before training camp to get the talking
points. Is there a Super Bowl hangover from a team who wins it? No.
Well, I mean, you could say the whole banquet circuit thing and, you know, living
it up. The rubber chicken circuit.
SBs and, you know, going to open, you know, you see these guys end up opening, like, all these, you know, cell phone stores. Oh, he'll be there from 2 to 6 signing autographs.
Yeah.
But they are so, you're right, programmed is the word. They are programmed from the, and I think it starts with little things that Bill does. Like, everybody was up in arms that he wouldn't talk about Rob Gronkowski at the owners' meetings. Remember when he stood there and held court? And, you know, why can't you just say what you said in the release a day earlier where you praised him and connected him directly to winning for this team? Because if he stands there and answers questions about Rob Gronkowski for 20 minutes, he's acknowledging this massive hole in the team, right? He's not moving on. He's not doing what he's asking the players to do. And that gives them an excuse or sets a tone that may trickle down to them. So he does it. He turns the page, and it's all this year. It's all in. They have their little events. You know, you get the ring ceremony, which sort of officially closes.
Yep.
But it's all in on turning the page. And I'm going to be interested in, and I want to ask Tony La Russa when we talk to him at 12:30 about this, because he's tight with Belichick.
Yeah, right? Very tight.
And he's been through it as a manager and as a front office guy defending titles, and that idea that Bill doesn't even believe you defend a title.
No, he doesn't.
Because there's nothing to do with that. Well, you earn another title a consecutive year later, but you don't actually defend the previous year's title.
That's right.
That's a misnomer. It's a falsity.
And Belichick subscribes to the theory that I'm a believer in, that sports is not a continuum. It's an anthology. It's every year's different.
Right.
Every year is different.
And
now, granted, we will look at you know, the Lakers in 2000 through 2002, they three-peated. And we'll look at, and the Patriots repeated in 04 and 03 and 04. But it's something that Belichick, he looks at it completely different. And I think that's the way that you should look at it, where this Red Sox team clearly were not of that mindset. When Alex Cora come out and said after the first series of the year against Seattle, when they got off to a horrific start and then they went on the road to Oakland, Arizona, it was that whole West Coast road trip. I believe the first 9 or 10 games of the season were on the road. And he was quick to go right away. It was like he had this predisposed sort of stock defensive answer right here.
You know, it worked last year. You know, everybody was cool when the starters were pitching October and coming out of the bullpen and be rovers. It's easy to second guess now because we didn't pitch well here.
Yeah, so October's a few weeks. It's not a six-month season. October is just the playoffs. It's a three-week run through the ALDS, the ALCS, and the World Series. You're not talking about the grind of a six-month regular season. And that, to me, right there, was where therein lies the inexperience of Cora, who has never been in a position of coming back off of a world title. And he went right to... Have you ever heard Belichick once in his career, his life, say last year? I never have.
No, it's week to week. And the other thing it does is it opens up the door for the media to make any comparison they want to the previous year. For example, you know what else worked the year before? They had a closer.
Yeah.
You didn't like him in the postseason.
Exactly.
But he was an all-star closer in the regular season when he had whatever it was, 40-plus saves. That worked a year ago. Why didn't you bring a closer in? It worked a year ago. You're telling me to think about how things worked a year ago. You had a closer a year ago. Now you don't have a closer. Guess what? It's not working. So it's also mixed messages as to when we look back at last year, when we don't. So it's just easier to say, no. We don't look at back to last year at all. We start from ground zero. And what you just said, Cora's not only never defended a title, he has never been questioned until this year.
No.
Because last year, it was 17-2 or whatever.
Yes.
When you start 17-2, you could have managed the team.
Anybody could.
Right?
Yeah. Anyone.
It's gumdrops and roses and greatness.
Even when they went through the little thing where they completely got rid of Hanley during midseason. Didn't stop them.
No.
They just kept going. They kept moving on. And yeah, the bullpen sucked last year, but then they turned it on in October when it mattered the most, even though before the two deadlines, now there's only one, you know, Dave Dombrowski didn't get Brad Hand. He didn't get Zach Britton. He didn't get that closer that everybody thought, or another reliever to come in and, you know, be a guy that could help set up in the eighth for Kimbrel. Well, now you don't have a Kimbrel.
Nope.
Now you don't have anybody. We'll talk to Tony La Russa, the front office report, coming up at 12:30. Let's shift gears next, though, to the Red Sox and how this team is nowhere near where they were a year ago. And even Pete Abraham, who is certainly not someone who will be described of as someone that is a vocal critic of the Red Sox, he came out a few weeks ago and he said, same players, not the same team. So Pete Abes has lost some hope on this Red Sox team. And why, oh why? We'll ask Tony La Russa this coming up in the front office report at 12:30. Why did you go into this?
My name is Peter Abraham. I'm a Red Sox reporter.
Without a bona fide closer. Oh, and by the way, we have two tickets to give away for Free Ticket Thursday. We will give those away coming up at 12:30 when we have Tony La Russa on the air. But we'll get to your phone calls next at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.